All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Onside Inside podcast. I'm your host, Corey Tompkins, and today we've got a special guest who truly embodies the spirit of dedication and innovation in the residential construction industry. Starting his journey as an apprentice in high school, he went on to complete his apprenticeship and has since navigated various aspects in this industry, including a transformative period in exploration drilling. Outside of work, his dedication is to his family and enjoying sports like CrossFit, mountain biking, surfing, and snowboarding. Byron, thank you for coming. Right, appreciate the drive. I don't know how far you came. How far was it?
About 50 minutes.
About 50 minutes. So I'm out at Jimboomba, so it's definitely not a fucking close drive for me either. So where are you? Are you?
Bracken Ridge up Northside.
Oh, yeah. You came in the big old truck too. So,
that's a 10 point.
Yeah, fuck, you take the tolls on that, it's like $60.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, for our listeners, tell us a little bit about you, a bit of what you're doing now, where you've come from, when you started. Yep. Give us a little bit of a nutshell, a bit of an overall of you.
I'm 27. Did my apprenticeship, finished that 2017. I think I started that in year 10. I went to the trade college, so I did 4 weeks of school, 4 weeks of work. Started with my dad. At the time, it was really hard to get an apprenticeship, like really hard. So dad was my last option. Had to go with him. There was nothing out there.
Yeah. So your old man was a builder at the time?
He's a builder, yeah. So he runs FKG Group.
Okay.
He's not the owner of it. The gardeners obviously are, but he's been there since day dot. So he's, up there.
Yeah.
So that was good. It's probably the fundamental base of everything. So they predominantly do commercial stuff. Hate commercial. Passion. So got out of there in about one or two years, went straight into architectural homes for natural lifestyle homes.
Yep.
Worked there. Well, I think I almost saw at my apprenticeship, something happened with the company. They had to scale right back. And then,
so you started your apprenticeship with FKG,
yeah. Yep. And then went into the architectural space of natural lifestyle homes. And then finished with just a local builder around my area, Mayor Constructions. And yeah, from there, worked with them, then just straight on ABN sort of thing, just working all over the place.
Yeah, so you just basically finished, you got signed off and then you just...
Yeah,
just you went on ABN around with them for a little bit and then just sort of ventured out on your own.
Yeah, just worked around and just, see what was out there, learned some lessons, hard lessons.
And how was that? What were some of the first things that you went out and did on your ABN?
Yeah, just still stayed in the architectural space with people, so that was good. But just lessons about who to trust and all that sort of stuff. You didn't know that back then.
Yeah.
So I had quite a lot of money from a lot of people and learned those lessons pretty early.
Yeah.
Then it was just doing all that. Then I eventually...
So you didn't do any ABN work for FKG at the time?
Nah.
You just stayed in the resi space?
Yeah,
you just had a handful of contacts that you sort of...
Yeah. We had quite a lot of friends back there. That was like the original space, I suppose. So I did my whole apprenticeship in Barton, Clayfield, Hendra, Paddington. Well, I didn't move.
That's where
we just built houses and that was it.
Yeah.
So it was pretty tight-knit, the builders that built in those spaces in 2015, 2015 and 2018 sort of thing. Never went back to commercial. I never found, you could stand back and there's no pride. Like you build a Woolworths or something and it's like...
It's just a Woolies,
yeah. And that's what it did. Like I built that Woolworths Everton Park and then I was just like, who cares? No one cares.
Yeah.
You don't get a pat on the back. There's no job satisfaction. But when you build an architectural home for a family, you're like, that's their home.
So
stayed in that space. And that's my biggest driver with everything we do is the families and the people, the clients you work for. So, stayed in that space. But then also ran into some big problems when people owed me quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
I had enough of the industry.
And was this sort of when you were subbing or were you doing jobs now?
Yeah, subbing. So I was still just subbing, just me sort of thing, as you do.
Yep.
So I actually left construction altogether. Did exploration drilling, worked all around Australia and every state in deserts and WA, like all over the place.
That was a big turn, yeah.
Big turn, yeah. Yep. So I was like 21, 22 at the time, and that taught me a lot about life. Pretty much everything I know now, like it gave me work ethic, like doing 3-in-1 swings, 14-hour days. It's when you learn it. So that was really good. That's all fell apart in COVID, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of us come home from WA. That's when I started Limitless. Did all the ASIC and that. Come home, was doing that again, more like on a bigger, like doing our own jobs, not doing ABN, subbing, any of that. So just everyone I knew from before I left. Did that again for a little while, and then...
So you still hadn't had any, you didn't have any employees at this point?
Nah, still no employees.
So just yourself?
Yeah, just myself. So, so just doing what you can with one person.
Yeah.
Still do quite a bit, but once people start hitting you up for bigger stuff.
Like you can do a deck here and there and ask for a hand. Yeah. But when it's extensions and stuff, you start to think, fuck.
Yeah, and you got friends that are also subbing or like doing ABN. So it's like, come help me for a week, I'll help you for a week.
You can only get away with that for so long,
Yeah, that's right. And then, it's 2022. Finally started getting employees.
So how did that all start? So it was your first apprentice?
Yeah, chippies first, then apprentices. That was the same thing. It was a real fun time. I just had mates. We were just helping each other. And I was saying yes to everything. So we were concrete and earthworks, like the whole lot, like roofing. There wasn't nothing that I didn't know. Fortunately, because of my apprenticeship and who I work for, we were a one-stop shop. So I never really had to turn down anything because we knew how to do it all.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably saving grace because we did a lot of concreting and bulk earthworks and roofing. Anyone didn't want to do, we were doing, and as well as all the framing and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, first employees and then, all skyrocketed from there pretty much.
So you took them on, you took them on full time or were they were still sort of ABN, agreement that they worked for you?
The guys that were contracting, they stayed just contracting for a bit and now they're doing their own thing as well.
Yeah.
My apprentice literally just got signed off like a month ago. He's been with me since day dot.
Yeah.
And then the other boys have obviously just come and gone. But they were the first full time employees sort of thing.
Yeah.
At the start. So
Yeah,
from there.
A lot of lessons in between. A lot of things to unpack.
Massive,
I guess it's one of those things like when you talk about it like that, it's almost like bullet point to the fact like when you talk it almost seems so simple, like, come back. Got some guys, did some jobs. Yeah, it's mad. But in reality, it's not. That's never the case, you know?
Nah. Yeah, we had lots of big learnings. Same stuff, just on way bigger scale.
So what were some of the jobs? Like, explain to me that transition from when you came back from drilling and you had your, it was just you took on some employees, one or two guys that you had. Yep. What were some of the first key milestone jobs that you sort of took on that you were like, and how did that whole pricing thing go? Did you make money? Yeah. Did you lose money? Did you price correctly? Did you not price correctly? Like, how was all that?
That was probably the biggest thing, pricing correctly and stuff. We did that because
do a $1 million job and then see, I'm going to make $250,000. But you don't make nothing.
Pretty much. We were still doing up until like just recently, still do like subcontract architectural builds, but like start to finish sort of thing. So we stayed in that space a fair bit. And that's pretty much where I learned my lessons with people. Like, you just, it's so much more involved like than you think. Like, even though you spend so much time quoting and all that, but you still miss so much. And then...
And you're dealing with... Sorry, you're dealing with clients or you're dealing more like B2B with like builders?
A bit of both. We sort of got used and that's where we went wrong. Like, they sort of... You do those sort of jobs and then... But they sort of see you as you're their employees and it's like, we're not here to be employees. I'm not here to solve everyone's problems. Like, we're here to do a job. And...
You'll learn that the hard way.
Yeah, we learned that the hard way. But we didn't have an option at the time. And that's what forced me to get my builder's license as well because I've had enough of... There's a lot of shit builders, like a lot of them. There's a lot of builders that don't know any more than what you and I know.
Yeah.
But I was the same as you. I have coaching and mentors and stuff like that, and that completely changed everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah. That was a big one for us.
Yeah. So you learned your hard way with the... Going out there and pricing a massive job and then realizing that, fuck, I didn't make any money.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, basically, could you share with us, like, some of your... When you started in construction, like, what sort of inspired you to take the path of carpentry? Like, what was... other than, you know, obviously, as you said right at the start, carpentry, like, it was a hard apprenticeship to get to start off with.
Yeah.
Let alone, it's fucking hard anyway.
Yeah.
So, other than, obviously, your dad... with FKG, but that's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Like, why, you know? And then the other thing that I can ask is, like, You know, you're out there drilling, earning probably better money than you would have been when you come back and was a subby.
Yeah.
Why flip the script and go back to the start? And like, what was some of the key things for you? Was it a lifestyle? Was it like, what were you sort of chasing?
Well, I'll start back with the first question about why. I didn't want to do carpentry. I wanted to do marine biology. Loved it. Like, I was pretty good at school. Yeah. And I told Dad, and Dad's like, "Like, you know how many people are actually doing that? Like, just watch the Discovery Channel or something. Yeah. It's not going to happen." And I was like, "Oh, fair enough, right." And then...
couldn't imagine you swimming out there with dolphins. Nah. Yeah. Marine biologist Byron, here he is, guys.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, oceanography, all that sort of stuff. Love the ocean, but Dad's just like, come on, mate.
Yeah.
I was like, righto, I'll go build stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I always helped Dad too on weekends, like concrete and all that sort of stuff. It was easy. Yeah. Like, it's all
but
easy.
Initially, it wasn't your first.
Nah, take. Definitely wasn't. Yeah. And then, yeah, got to like the pointy end of year 10. Dad's like, well, why don't you go to trade college and... At least you get paid for experience, like, and you started my apprenticeship. So I started my apprenticeship, obviously started year 11.
Yeah.
And then fell in. Like, I didn't like the commercial space, but I still loved being on site.
Just
like,
you the know whole, what
I
mean?
It took me the 2 years to realize I didn't like commercial. Mm. So it's not to say that I didn't like the construction process. Yeah. I just, as I started to get older through you those just years like that as
aspect
well.
Aspect of it, yeah.
Yeah, and we were handing over jobs and stuff. And I was like,
that
it's like, oh, yeah, you're here next week. You're like, oh, yeah, righto.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. So it might be for the PMs and stuff like that, but for the guys on the ground, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
I know it's a lot different now. Like, my dad takes people, like, once they finish jobs, they'll go to Fraser, like, for a week, and it's all paid for, you know, stuff like that. But it wasn't like that back then. It was just, next job Monday. So.
Yeah.
And then the drilling thing, I did love it. Like, I really loved it. I love hard work. I love guys that just want to work hard. Everyone out there is from the school of hard knocks. There's no fucking around. Like, a lot of them have had tough lives, and they're pretty tough men. And that was good because they just worked their asses off, and that was it. There's no bullshit. There's nothing. So it was really...
Yeah.
It was a good place. Like, it was tough. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone because it would break a lot of people. It broke me. Like, birthdays and Christmases, you cry, you're by yourself. Shit.
Yeah.
But it makes you pretty hard, and it makes it a lot easier to come back to Brisbane when you have an insane work ethic and no one else does.
Mm.
Like, you can just do it. So
yeah.
That was good. The reason I come home, a lot of my my friends' businesses, they were all starting theirs, and I was like, I can do that. Like, I can do it better.
Mm.
I'm smarter. I know the right people. And then I was getting a little bit of FOMO. I was like, you know, if they're doing it, I can do it. And then it was the same thing. I was working my butt off for these people, and there's no recognition. Like, we were the fastest rig in our sector. We always had no incidents. Like, we did everything perfect, and there was no reward. Like, there's no one cared. You're still a number, and when like the numbers of those companies in the thousands, you're just a nobody. You're just spend all like And so I was like, I'll just do my own thing. So, that was probably the big turning point, as well as like COVID and stuff. But because I could have gone and got other jobs, but I was like,
100%. You probably could have just sat on your hands for, you know, you probably would have had some money saved up, no doubt.
Yeah, well, that's how I started Limitless, like bootlegged it. So it was easy in that respect. I saved up 100 and something grand and was like, oh, let's start a company.
Yeah.
So was a house or company? It all gone?
Yeah.
So I was like, let's do this thing.
Yeah.
So, and that's pretty much where it started and just kept going.
Yeah. So through your apprenticeship, was there any like things that you wish that you had learned or got taught or got treated a certain way? Was the apprenticeship quite good? Because who was the second company?
Natural Lifestyle Homes.
And then they're still around? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, they are. Yeah.
Pretty big in space now. Yep. Yeah. They're really good builders. Like, no, I got nothing bad to say about anyone. Yep. Like, you got to do your apprentice things, but I think people, apprentices these days, need to realize what those things are and why you're there.
Yeah.
But
do you employ, other than the apprentice that you got about to finish or just finished?
Just finished. Yeah, I got more apprentices. But like, I explain to them all the time. If you, and there's a difference between being a carpenter and a builder, and there's I reckon there's 4 or 5 different carpenters, honestly. Like, in a builder, a carpenter builder is completely different.
You go to New Zealand, you know, they refer to all carpenters as builders.
Hate it.
Because when they come over here, they go, I'm a builder.
Yeah.
And then you go, what's your QBCC license?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm a chippy. It's like, okay, well, over here, it's different terminology. If you're a builder, you're a builder. If you're a carpenter, you're a carpenter. It's like different.
Yeah, I found that out listening to the Better Builder podcast. Yeah. Like, oh, they're all builders. I'm like, no, they're not.
Yeah. No.
Two piece.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think apprentices need to understand if you want to build a builder, you have to understand why you're waterproofing like the back of a wall or what you're doing, like, and why it's your job and why it's actually really, really important. Mm. Like all those crappy jobs that might seem digging holes and stuff, but if you need to understand the whole aspect of the job, like, and that's how you get it, I suppose. Yeah. So, I don't know, like, yeah, I had a pretty good time. I learnt a lot, got treated really well. So I got no complaints and still friends with both of them, and was asking my last employee a lot of questions when I first started doing stuff, and he was always happy to help.
Yeah.
So.
All right, guys, congratulations. You're halfway through this episode. I hope you guys are really enjoying it. But first, I just want to make a special thank you to Ideal Group Australia. Without them, I wouldn't be able to bring this podcast to you. So special thank you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Buckle in and get ready to listen to the end of this episode. Yeah. So what's your current setup now? So how many guys have you got now, and what's your current, like, what does your business model look like now? So who are you?
Yeah. So
you got guys in the office, or what, how does that all work?
Yeah. So it's just me and my partner, Shani. So
yeah,
she's learning a lot of stuff. She just pretty much does all the stuff that doesn't necessarily need my attention or waste it. You know what I mean? Like, so
you're still pricing and everything like that.
Yeah.
She's just sort of handling the more administrative stuff of.
Yeah. And a
as
lot
much
of
as
other,
she can.
Yeah. A lot of other stuff. So like, trying to teach her, not quoting fully, but if I give her like a schedule of finishes, I'm like, you just need to find all this prices. Like, you know, stuff like that. She's still helping me in like all aspects. She makes the websites, does Instagram. She doesn't just do admin. Like, she'll deal with.
Yeah.
My accountant directly, like the bookkeeper.
So she's a partner. She's a partner in it with you. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I told her. She's like, "Oh, I'm just an admin." I'm like, "No, you're not.
Yeah.
I would like you to be my partner, but you need to learn all this stuff." So she's doing my coaching with me as well. Yeah. Obviously, she's got no background in any of it, but I was like, "You don't really need it these days." Like, you listen to a few good guys like Alex Hormozi and these sort of fellas, and you do the coaching that we're doing. You can get a business degree. You don't need a paper. Like, you really don't.
Yeah, as smart. I say to a lot of guys, like, it's the context of it. When you're in that space, like in that sort of environment, the context of it, tomato. Like, it doesn't matter. It's the same. Whether you're in construction or you're painting walls, it's the same. Yeah. It's the same. It doesn't matter. Nothing changes. So, you can 100% still, you know, you don't need to know. You can sort of learn it as you go. Like, for myself, like, me and my wife, well, at the time, she was still only my girlfriend. And, man, we were rocking, like, we were currently in... I was in a post-war house in Morningside. Didn't own it, by the way. If we were, you fucking earned the house. Didn't own it. We were in a house there. I was paying board and we were working out of a fucking IKEA desk, and we were both still doing like online MyOp courses on how to do this and how to do that. I didn't know any sort of thing in regards to fucking any sort of scheduling. I was literally just learning as I went. And it was like the whole process was just fuck. Yeah. But you got to walk that path. Like, you can lean on... Everyone's like, oh, you know, and you would know yourself, like, say, like, I'll give you for context, like, your dad is high up in a fairly large company, but contextually to you, it can only help you so much.
It hasn't helped me at all. My whole career, there's nothing he's been able
to
do.
What I mean is like the advice and like that sort of stuff, like dealing with clients.
It's so different.
Yeah.
Like, I've asked him lots of times, he's like, I can't help you. Like, we're just too different. Like, they have
two different worlds.
They have 40 estimators. They have their own in-house lawyer. They have the whole show. And it's like, I can't. I can't.
Yeah.
Look. I run this. I don't run these departments. Yeah. I don't run these.
But that's what I mean. And I feel like, as like a, like, you know, my other side of the family, like, there's people that are high up in fairly large companies as well. And it's like, unless you're around people that either run the same sort of business or have built a business from the ground up, it's really hard to understand what the fuck they're going through, because if you're a number two in like a $700 million company or whatever, like, you can't really help, because there's like, I'm asking questions that are, you know, how do I scale? How do I, how do I get the guys in the office? How do I get, you know, how do I read my P&L to understand where the fuck we sit? So, where for them it doesn't quite register, even though they are still part of a large company, like that's successful.
Yeah.
So
we've had those discussions many times when I've been, when my back's been up against the wall and I'm like, hey, Dad, like, you know, is it going to be worth it? You know, like, or is it worth it? And he's just like we had a pretty good chat one day when I was like, I'm done. Like, and he's just like, I can't answer that. It's you and I, like I take risks. He never took that risk. He runs obviously the huge company, but that's because he worked for someone.
Yeah.
I took risks from day dot. He's like, you're a risk taker. I'm not. So I don't understand. Yeah. Like we generally don't understand how each other think. Like we're best mates, but that's type A and type B person. There's someone that has a high risk tolerance, which is me, always have been investing, like absolutely everything. And then it's Dave. It's like safe, but super good at his job, like really good, but just never wanted to take the risk of being like, of starting a company. So we're two different people and it's always been hard like that. So yeah, I totally agree. If they haven't walked that same path, it's really hard to talk to people. And I think that really separates everyone in your life as well. Like you'll start to not be friends with people because your friend groups and stuff. This is what all happened to me anyway. When you start a company and that, people don't understand why your mind is consumed 24/7, 365, why you don't know what's going on TikTok and Instagram Reels and Facebook. You don't know what memes are trending because that's not what I look at.
You go to someone's house, oh my God, do you see the thing on the news? No.
No.
I don't understand.
Yeah, and I saw that happen like the last 5 years. My friend groups are like changed dramatically and gotten smaller, and then my new friends are like, some of them are like 50. You know, they're all over the place because they're all in construction now or in their own space, but they understand what you've done. Like you
sort of what you're going through.
Yeah. And like all my friends from like gym and stuff, they're like business owners or like they're in that same headspace, I suppose. Yeah. So
that's what I mean. Like it doesn't have to be the industry.
As long as
if they're in that, if they're sort of building something, like you're going through the same fucking hurdles.
Business is business.
Yeah.
And especially small businesses as well. Like everyone's been through it.
Yeah. Like what's the statistic? They say that it's like within the first 5 years, you know, it's nearly guaranteed that a small business will go out. And I feel like social media, and correct me if I'm wrong, but social media has almost glamorized the fact of owning your business is what you should do, where I feel like that should never be the case. Where like if you jump on social media now and just have a quick scroll, I guarantee you there's, you know, why you should run your business, why you should do this, why you should do that. For the most part, you know, a lot of people shouldn't.
No.
You know, my old man was one of them.
Yeah.
He shouldn't.
Yeah.
Great guy, like great tradie. You know, yes, he was part of a successful business, but it wasn't his business.
Yeah.
So, you know, to his defense, he did a really good job. But to be honest, I really think that he would have done better being that number two or that number three or that number four in a better company, where I feel like, you know, social media, a lot of these younger guys that are coming through, and something that you would probably experience as well, you know, with apprentices, is that they almost think that it's their right or that they deserve, like that, you know, it's something that they should just, like, it should just be done. Like, you know, finish your apprenticeship, become a carpenter, get your builder's license, go out there and start a business and buy yourself a fucking 79 series.
Yeah.
And you're sweet, like done. Have a holiday every 3 weeks. You'll be right.
Yeah.
But in reality is, that is actually not the truth.
No.
Like it's fucking hard. It's a long slog. And if you want to get there and get that 79 series and have those holidays and have that real lifestyle where you can go to Italy and do whatever the fuck, like whatever everyone likes to do, nice house and whatever, sometimes that can take 10, 15, 20 years to get there.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking compounding effect. You got to do year on year on year on year, everything right.
Yeah.
And but anyway, I could rant on because this is like one of the a lot of our listeners are apprentices or guys that have just basically finished more and more now that we're seeing across our socials is that it's apprentices that it's so normalized for them to want to go out there and get a business. Now I'm not saying not to. I still think that 100% if you want to give something a go, fucking give it a go.
Yeah.
But don't let it destroy your life. Like,
give yourself.
I literally had this conversation with a guy last year. I said, he's gone out on his own. I said to him, give yourself a limit. Say to yourself, all right, the next 2 years or the next 3 years, this is the date. You set it in your calendar or whatever. And just say to yourself, like, if it hasn't worked out by then,
yeah,
then, you know, I'll look at something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know everyone's going to jump in there and be like, oh, but you can fucking do 20 years and then that one time when it pays off, but hey, you're going to live 20 years of shit.
Yeah. But so that's the whole point of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is hope. Hope that you're going to get it right. Hope that it does work out. That's the whole point.
Mm.
If you want to get into business, you need to like be prepared to give up your whole entire life. Your savings, your family, your friends, everything. That's what it costs. Yeah. That's what business costs. It costs everything you got plus just a little bit more and then a little bit more.
Oh.
That's what it will cost you to run a successful business if you get there. If you don't make mistakes.
If you get there and you don't make mistakes.
It's taken us 12 years to get to this point. So
literally, it's been fucking, it's been one of those things. Like I've evolved over the years and I've realized some things. And me and Nick have had, you know, he's asked me some questions over the time, but it's basically just, yeah. It's just grit and just, you just got to keep fucking moving on. So
it's tenacity. Like you have to, like it's Alex Amosi has probably some of the best business content in the world if everyone looks out at him. But yeah, like you just got to keep working and you have to work harder than everyone else. If you're not working harder than the next guy, it's just going to take over and it's compounding interest. You work every Saturday, you work Sundays, that's hours. Like you're getting in so much more extra work, whether you're putting that into yourself, marketing, better language around the workplace, like clients, selling. Construction's actually a huge sales. People don't realize it, but if you're not good at sales, you're not going to get a job. It's the biggest
sales job in the fucking world. Yeah. You're not dealing with a $40,000 car or a $10,000 material purchase. You're dealing with like $1.5 million sales. So you can just imagine there's fucking like you got to be a salesman at heart. And,
100%. And like I don't think people are probably aware enough around that. Like, you know, you go into a car shop and these days no one cares. Like no one cares. No one knows anything about sales. Same as real estate. They're so greedy. All of them are in the same boat. None of them care about the sales anymore. But with us, it's like, well, say you even get a project that goes like over budget, you have to sell to them like, why is this job important? You need to figure it out. Like what's the wants and needs and like you need to try to sell something. Like, or like, yeah, you just need to work with them to understand what they need in every aspect. Like, and then you need to try to get that along like over the line. And then you realize you're in a relationship with these people for the next 14 months. So you need to get along. If you don't have like qualifying calls, discovery meetings, share the same interests, even like goals, like same, all that sort of stuff, you just shouldn't do the job.
Oh man, let me just reiterate, that's definitely not the reason why I got out of that business to client relationship. But fuck me, that whole thing about, you literally, if you do a job, you're in that bed with that person for the next 10 years at least.
Yeah.
You know, every time it rains, every time there's a leak, every time there's something fucking wrong, your phone will constantly ring. And that's just been, you know, for me anyway, it was just something that I just looked at and I was like, there's not enough money in the fucking world.
Yeah.
But anyway, so keeping on. Now, is there any particular project or accomplishment that sort of comes to mind where you sort of thought to yourself, you know, was it a large scale reno? Was there anything that sort of, you know, solidified it to you that, you know, not that you'd made it. I hate saying that fucking word, even for myself. But I mean, like, you know, where you looked at it and you were like, this is me. Like, you're not just a subby that's just subbing to another builder, or you're just touching this project on one aspect. Like, what was that like?
I couldn't say nothing yet.
Nothing yet?
Nah. Because I don't know. I love like everything about business, I suppose. So like even everything I just said, it's really hard, but like I love it. Like, I would never do anything else. Yeah. But you have to be different to enjoy the shit, you know what I mean? But even like, so when we got our builder's license, I was like, oh, okay. I thought that was it. I was going to be stoked. I was like, yeah, we're a builder now.
I'm going to win heaps of jobs. This is sick.
But it's not even like about that. Like I seen the piece of paper and I was like, all right, now I want to be a developer. I was like, just the goals move so fast. And you don't like, I probably need to do it more, like slow down and stuff. But I think when you love what you do and like everything around that, you just keep moving, eh? Like, you still got another job on Monday, like the next day. I haven't had that yet. I'm sure we will. Like we'll build something that like stands out. But
100%.
Or like a certain client that you become best friends with.
It will. Yeah. It will. 100%. There'll definitely be a moment in time where you'll just like, it'll click.
Yeah.
Like for me, like it clicked like, I don't know, 2 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Like there was a lot of things that lined up. And it was a mixture of shit. Like I was having kids. I went through my old man, he got cancer and passed away. Like, so there was a whole shit period. But then at the back end of that, you know, my wife sort of, Tamara, you know, we were sort of on the same page with a lot of shit. And we, that was sort of a moment in time that definitely wasn't like I put my feet up and was like, fuck yeah, we made it. Cause like we're definitely,
yeah,
you know, it's never ending fucking process. Yeah. But like it was just one of those moments where I was like, okay, now we're no longer just the, you know, I'm no longer just fucking kicking rocks and the hope.
Yeah.
You know, we've actually got, yeah.
I'd say like that point where I'd say I'd made it is like I've paid off like, I don't know, all my friends and family's mortgages. Like that for me would be like something huge. Like, but looking after brothers and sisters and grandmas and grandpas, like for me that would be like a big thing, but I don't think it's ever going to be like a point.
Yeah.
If that makes, like,
Like Oprah, you get overall, a car, you get a car.
Yeah, I'd rather just like help all my family and stuff. Yeah,
100%.
See to it, my younger brother and sister, like brothers finishing school and helping them succeed now and my sister and I think that's more like some defining moments probably for me.
Yeah.
I think I really enjoy watching them grow up now.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the biggest thing that a lot of guys don't talk about, rather than purchases and utes and cars and houses and that, is basically just being able to control your time.
Yeah.
Like that was honestly, like that was what I was just about to say before. Like that was, to me, that was it. You know, I'm at a point now where I could control with it, you know, because my wife, when she'd get home, she'd be like, you can't fucking control your time. But like, for the most part, I can pick and choose my days, what I'm doing, to a degree. Like, everyone thinks that I'm fucking at home playing Xbox. I'm not.
Yeah.
Right? But for the most part, I can pick and choose what I do. So I feel like that on its own is a fucking massive accomplishment rather than, you know, all the purchases and that. So, all right. I've got a round of fire questions for you.
Oh, no.
All right. So don't worry. Don't worry about it. Nick will fucking chop this up. But now there's no like personal ones or dirty ones or anything in there. But basically, it's just like obviously construction related ones. And all you got to do is just try to answer them as best and as fast as you can.
Done.
All right. So, what's one tool or piece of equipment that you cannot live without?
Table saw.
Table saw.
Yeah. Love them.
Okay. All right. What's a common misconception about your job that you'd like to debunk or let people know about?
Probably girls that think carpenters are carpet layers.
Literally, yes. Yes.
Oh, you're a carpenter. That's great. No.
Yeah. Nope. I think Tamara actually mentioned that to me fucking right at the start. Like, I'm talking like right early days, like when we were still texting. I'm pretty sure she actually said that to me. Yeah. So that is so fucking true. All right. If you could change one thing about the construction industry, what would it be?
Probably how everyone thinks free quotes are still a thing and tendering.
That is true.
Get rid of that, all that.
That is true, yes. Except we're in the fucking, we tender through the fucking roof and it's all for free. But anyway, all right. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received? Oh, either from one of your mentors, your dad, passing person at the gym, motivational.
It'd be handed down by so many people, but like you miss every shot you don't take.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. I think it's in lots of books.
Yeah. That's a good one. All right. And what's next for you personally and professionally? Sorry. It's professionally. I fucked that one. You got to cut that. All right. Let me go again. Fuck, why did I say personally? He was probably like, wait, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hang on. All right. So what's next for you professionally? Is there any exciting like projects, goals on the horizon for the business? What have you got up?
Probably just crawling back into the architectural space for ourselves as builders. That's probably the one thing I'm excited. It's all starting to happen for us now as well. We just need to execute as well with everything, but we've sort of laid the foundations to get to where we need to go now, so pretty excited for that.
All right,
for sure. Sweet.
That was good. All right, so that was the fire round. All right, so we briefly touched on earlier in the piece, you know, you love the gym, obviously. Yeah. You've been on a few of those podcasts and all that sort of stuff. So just tell me, like, what's the, you know, is that a massive mindset thing for you, or how's that all sort of eventuated? Is that something that you loved always throughout your whole, like, growing up, sports and all that sort of stuff? Or?
Yeah, so I played most sports, got really hurt in rugby. Then I raced motocross most of my life as well. Got really hurt in all that.
Okay.
And then just did normal gym, like bodybuilding stuff for a while, and then got into CrossFit, like, and that's when I fell in love.
Love it.
And a lot of that is to do with how hard you push yourself, and like you need to like put calluses on your brain sort of thing. Like you need to push and push and push and push just so you know how hard and what sort of mental toughness you need for life, I find. Like we go pretty hard, like compete and stuff as well. And
yeah,
like I always feel like that has made my life so much easier because I know what I can take, like mentally, like the stress, like for existence, all that sort of stuff. I feel like I'm pretty good with all that, but it's about always pushing those boundaries of your mind because the only thing that stops us is our mind, I suppose.
Yeah.
Gym's pretty important for me, probably to center myself, I suppose. So always make time for it.
CrossFit,
big one. Yeah,
that's hectic. I think I've given it a go once, and I was like, "Yeah, nah, my back's already fucked."
Yeah, it's good fun.
Yeah, doing a fucking what's it, clean and jerk? No, is it? Do they throw the bar?
Oh, clean and jerks. Yeah,
right. Fuck. Yeah. Nope, not for me. All right. So, is there any sort of particular challenges that you've had in business with employing guys, arguments with guys, pay?
Pretty much all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, all of it. Yeah. Like we've had.
What are some recent ones? Give me in the listeners some context to some recent ones that you've sort of, you know, have you had a really bad argument with a client? Have you had issues with employing guys, getting guys?
Not really. Like I've always been pretty easy to get guys.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also gone through a lot of guys too.
Yeah.
I got pretty high expectations of people, and when people don't sort of aren't good enough, pretty just get rid of them. I don't really don't care who they are and what they know. And it is hard these days. I think everyone thinks they're worth a lot more than they are, and most of them are pretty shit.
Especially with the current market.
Yeah.
Especially when was it? It was like last year. Everyone was like, "You fucking jump on those good old Facebook pages."
Yeah.
Everyone's like, "Oh yeah, $80 an hour." I was looking at it going, "How the fuck are guys even affording this? Like, who's paying? Because money's got to come from somewhere."
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
And we had guys like that just ask for more and more and then, like, just can't handle it, you know? Mm. Like, I'm happy to pay someone, like, really good money if they don't call you.
Mm.
If you don't call me for anything, I'll pay you that.
Mm.
But if you call me, price instantly goes down. You're not worth it. Like,
if
you look at... I look at everything in a dollar value to myself and my hourly rate, not that I really have one, but... Yeah, like if you're costing me time and stuff, like you're calling me for silly questions, I don't think very highly of you, like, unfortunately. Like, and that's how it is. Like, if you're a foreman and or leading hand and stuff, you ask questions that I just need to look at my computer, like on a set of plans, then answer it. It's pretty shit.
Mm.
So employees have been a big one. I got a really good crew now.
Yeah.
I was the same though, went up to 12, 13 people.
Yeah.
Held on to people way too long.
Yeah.
Got rid of them. Like now we're down to 4 or 5 of us. And it's best thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Best thing. So sometimes it's not always about the number. It's not always about, you know.
It's definitely not.
And it really just depends on what you can manage, the style of work that you're doing. Like for us, like we can scale, like and be like, I'd love to be a 20, but it's more just, you know, that's our style, you know? So, you know, for you guys, if you're in the architectural space,
you don't need to roll
with that many.
Yeah, I think it just depends. Like a lot of our coaching too is about like systems and processes. Like you actually don't need a lot of guys to build these sort of homes.
Yeah.
Like, and I learned that the hard way too. I was like, oh, if I just employ more people, do it faster.
Mm.
Then more mistakes came. The quality went down. There was more, I had to be around more. Like there was actually...
And you're stressing about the next job because you got to float the fucking...
Yeah.
You got to float them to roll the next project, and sometimes the next project doesn't land straight away and you're like, fuck, and you're just keeping guys busy for no reason.
Yeah. And so, we've been through all that. So now we just got the 3 chippies, 3 apprentices.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, 7 of us. Yeah, but Yeah, so much better.
And you're still on the tools now?
Yes.
Half and half?
Yeah, yeah. Whenever I need to be. Like, the boys will have holidays and
you'll jump in.
Work. Yeah. But I'm, like, my head's around every job, so it's really not that hard. Yeah. And I'm fully set up to work, so it's not, I'm not, you know, I got all my tools.
Yeah.
I have a lot of the specialty tools. And
Are
I prefer to work.
Yeah.
Like, so if I could, but I can't. Like, at the moment, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll be able to jump on the tools for the next month, and then three jobs come in, so I'm out for 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's how fast that happens, you know. So,
do you ever find, so this is a good point. Do you ever find that, you know, wait, what's going on with this light, Nick? All right. He's going to hate it because he's going to have to chop this out of the audio, but good. Good. All right. No, a good one that I like to talk about is the whole aspect, because I found this when I was making the transition off the tools. Do you find, because you said that you jump in when you need to, do you find that, because obviously you would have lead guys that would take the lead when you're not there. Do you ever find there's a power struggle from when you, so when you're not there, they're leading, but when you're there, obviously they follow underneath you, and so does the people underneath them. Just, it would naturally happen.
I've always, especially with Ethan, my main guy, I've always said when I jump on, I'll just be a carpenter, you know, like I don't want to try to take
But
lead.
Do you think that actually happens? Because I found...
Sometimes.
Yeah. Because I trialed that and I found that it's not the case, because it will just naturally happen. If you're there and Ethan's there and the guys that are underneath Ethan have a question or there is something, they would just... out of habit, they'll just go to you.
Oh, sorry. In those regards, no, the boys are pretty good. It's like, so I'll generally, if I do jump on site and stuff, I'll just work by myself, because obviously all the boys will be in pairs. So it three's too much. Like, depends what you're doing. But or like I'll take one of the apprentices or someone with me and we'll just do our thing. But no, my boys are pretty good. They know not to really come to me, because there might be things that Ethan knows, or like whoever's on site, so Mark's another like lead.
Oh, yeah.
But even then, like, there's still stuff that I know a lot about the job, but I might not know
that aspect.
Oh, we've had to do it this way, you know, whatever. So they do know to just ask him, and they know I'm not there full time. But say if I was there for 3 or 4 weeks or something, then something like that. Once I'm like, oh, yeah, I know everything.
Yeah.
But boys been pretty good like that. Yeah. Or, as I say, I work by myself, so I'll just do stuff I can do by myself.
Yeah, it was the biggest transition. Like, for me, that's what I found. And it was something that I just subconsciously had to test in the waters. And I found out that I was like, okay, it is actually happening. And then I basically said to myself, this has gone back a few years now, but I just said to him, you know, I sat down with my main guys that I had, and they were already at the point where they were like, listen, you're more of a fucking nuisance than you are a hand.
Yeah.
Because when you are here...
Yeah.
People are just going to you, supervisors, project managers, whoever's there are going to you, and the guys are going to you. They're coming to me.
Yeah.
And and I was at that point where I was only doing, you know, I was only on site maybe 2-3 days a week.
Yeah.
So I just said to him, all right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go off for 2-3 weeks. I'm not going to come to fucking site. I'll come once a week for an hour. That's it.
Yeah.
And I said, let's just trial it. Let's all just trial it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I'll come back.
Yeah.
All right. And by then, they were all for it. They're like, fucking oath.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do it. I said, as long as you guys... And obviously, there was things that we put in place. You know, there was already systems in place, lines of communication and groups and all this sort of shit that I already did in the background. It wasn't just like I just dusted my hands and walked off.
Yeah.
And so I just literally trialed it. And ever since then, never went back. So, you know, now I get out to site like once a week, maybe. And... you know, it's probably been the best thing ever. The guys have probably, the productivity probably dipped a little bit, but it picked up over time, and guys love it. They love the responsibility. Like, you would know yourself, you have guys that you put in those leading positions or those manager positions, they thrive.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? They want to. They don't want to be underneath you forever.
Yeah.
So, and you sort of have to let them. And what I found, we as a company went through a massive downshift of like a turnaround of staff. We got rid of about 6 guys in the space of like fucking 6 weeks, and then like re-employed heaps. So we had a massive shift of staff. And I just found that now, bringing in staff, it's the norm. Where before, I had staff that were still sort of there when I was there. There was a big power struggle, or, you know, you're not my boss, you're not this, you're not that. Where now, there's no issues.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so no plans as of yet to fully dust your hands. And
nah, just, not if I don't have to. Nah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Like, yeah.
Love driving machines.
Yeah.
Yeah, love all that sort of
stuff. Yeah, do it. So, yeah. Stay in it for
love
as long.
Like concrete and love all that stuff.
Stay in it for as long as you can. And I feel like the guys, you know, I love that. Like the guys that are doing it, I feel it's such a, going back to, you know, must own a business. There's also that other aspect of guys just wanting to get the fuck off the tools, like as soon as they possibly can.
That's
like,
the problem with the young guys. Yeah, like, oh, we're going to get off the tools. Like,
why the fuck start? Why do an apprenticeship to start with? Like,
yeah.
As I say to all the guys that we employ now, I say to them, you know, only start a carpentry apprenticeship if this is something you actually want to fucking do. Like if your plan is to do your trade and get the fuck off the tools and just leave and stop and just, you know, do whatever, there's no point even doing it. Mm. Because it's if you force that whole time period of like getting off the tools and getting a business and doing all that, you'll fail and you'll be working at fucking JB Hi-Fi in 3 years just at the checkout. Like it's not gonna work. Like it sort of organically has to fall into place and you sort of have to, like for me, it sort of fell into place. We came to that glass ceiling where we couldn't punch through any further. I couldn't, you know, do any more business development or anything like that. I was already capped.
Yeah.
Couldn't do any more. And the boys knew that as well. Like we were all in the same boat. Mm. And I just looked at them all and I said, listen, if we as a whole, as a company, want to go to the fucking next level, whether it be with developments, B2B, doing better jobs, bigger jobs, this, that, and the other, something has to give. And the only way that's going to happen is I got to fucking take a step back. So, but that wasn't because I didn't enjoy being on the tools. I fucking loved it. It was good.
Yeah.
But so, you know, for them, they're happy I did because now it's opening up doors for them to be able to, for them to get off the tools and get into better jobs and stuff as well. So
I think it just all takes planning, you know, like, because we do this, like we do a lot of business development and as I said, the coaching stuff, which is where all that is. But it's just all planned, us, you know what I mean, like we do all that, and then there are always things in motions to get other people into my roles. Like I've been thinking about a lot lately, it's like by the end of the year Ethan will probably like move off the tools and supervise everyone and to take over my stuff, so I can literally just do quotes and sales and then be a carpenter and then he can do all that. But you still got to have like your finger on the pie, I suppose. Like
100%.
Like I still love watching like awesome framers on YouTube and the Ninja. Like I love carpentry. I love watching the best dudes. Yeah. I love finding best ways. Like, you know, there's a million different ways to use a square, skill saw, like all sorts of stuff. Like I love it. So and I'm always
the States definitely lead the way, I feel.
Oh yeah, especially Canada and that.
Oh,
I love it.
Like, yeah.
So definitely. Yeah, you still gotta be like the best there too, sometimes I think.
Don't worry, boys, I'm still better than all you.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right, well, what do we got? All right. Well, we're coming to the end of it. Basically, just want to thank you for coming on. It's been really good. I hope you listeners have got some sort of, some sort of storytelling or experience from the conversations that we just had. And I want to thank you, Byron, for coming on. Hopefully we'll run this back in a few years' time and we'll see where you're sitting then with the business and where things are at. So, all right, that's it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode as this will be one that you don't want to miss.